You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
First Nations listeners are advised that the following program may contain the names and voices of our mob who have passed on to the dreaming.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to Yilliman on 3CR, 855 in your dial, 3cr.org.au. To listen on demand, or you can also listen live via the website as well. And you can also listen on demand wherever you get your podcast from, places like Spotify and iTunes and whatever else. Or though that being said, go find a better server to get your podcast from. We should be boycotting places like Spotify and Apple. We've got Beyond the Bars is on next week. So if you don't know what Beyond the Bars is, it's been going for 25 years in a row now. This is the 25th birthday year of Beyond the Bars. And each year, what's been happening for the last 25 years is the crew from 3CR have been going to various prisons throughout Victoria and doing broadcasts from within the prisons as an opportunity to actually give some of our men and women who are locked up a opportunity to actually get their voices heard and get their messages out there and to have a talk about the issues that are important to them and that affect them, and, you know, talk about stuff like the sort of support they need to, you know, just generally, not just them in particular, but the sort of support that people in general need, you know, to stay out of incarceration and to be able to, you know, live a happy and healthy life on the outside. But yeah, I've got a few snippets from previous years that I'm going to play just to give you a bit of a feel for the sort of content that we have playing during that week. Of course, you know, I won't be here on the radio next week. We'll be playing a live broadcast. Actually, during my slot next week, we'll be broadcasting from Western Plains Correctional Centre down near Geelong. But yeah, it's a jam-packed week. It goes Monday to Friday. 11 to 2 each day, except for on Friday itself, when it will be 1 to 3, broadcasting from Loddon. But you can also tune in and, you know, listen. If you miss any of them, you can tune in and listen to them on the website, 3cr.org.au. Just use the little search bar to look up Beyond the Bars. You can also go back and listen to old, you know, old CDs from the previous years. There's actually some really great content on there, you know, some really meaningful chats and discussions about, you know, the experiences that so many mob face, both within society as well as within corrections, and, you know, how we start to address some of those things. But yeah, I'm just going to play a couple of snippets. You know, full disclosure, I haven't actually properly listened to all of these ones, but I'm sure it's going to be great content anyways. This is from 2016, titled Losing Family by Dita.
Seems to be, and even us others in jails, you know, across the country and that too, you know, we all sort of feel it, we still feel it too, you know, coming from our families. And unfortunately now it's getting stricter and stricter on us being able to represent our families at funerals and that because of where we are, and, you know, our own powers above stopped that as well. But, you know, what, we're not cut off from our families out there, you know, and here we are in a way, but, you know, our love and our feelings still go out for them. And
there is...
It's getting more and more, you know, like, and younger and younger. Like,
and there is a dynamic that happens once the notice comes into a facility or a prison or Dame Phyllis Frost Centre or wherever it is, whether it be Parkville or, you know, for youth detention, or, and there's a conflict, not a conflict, but a dynamic happens where either you're the first person notified, so you notify the powers that be that you want to attend the funeral or a service or whatever, and because you're the first one who's put your name to go to that funeral, there are only certain amount of people that are allowed to attend a service or a funeral. So but we know as community people and people within our families that there's in a sense a hierarchical system that happens. And so the 18-year-old young fella, because his put his name down. He's the first notified to go to the funeral. He quickly, immediately goes and says, I want to go. And yet the direct uncle or the direct senior person within the family, his name, he might be last notified. So his name's down the bottom of the list. And so the young 18-year-old hasn't conferred with his uncle or you know, there might be a dad and a son within a facility.
Yeah.
And so do you know what I mean? So the powers that be need to come to a realisation that there's protocols within the family unit that need to be adhered to.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and you get, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of us in those institutions and that, and at times there's more than one or two in the same institution. How do you balance or pick which one gets to go? You know what I mean? Like, makes it pretty hard, I suppose, and that's something that, you know, like we were saying earlier, brother, you know, that's their way of making us blue with each other, you know what I mean, to bring that separation amongst us in here, because they don't like us together. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they split us up and send us all different places and don't keep us whole in a big group, you know? And, you know, I've been coming to jail for a long time, you know, and our numbers dwindle in different institutions where we used to be together and strong. And a lot of us, now they separate us and keep us apart. And when the group starts getting too big, they just float us out to other places.
Well, we were talking about it off air, Dede, is that your nephews, Cubby and Reg, will obviously want to go, but that might prevent you from actually attending the service. So, how do we solve those situations?
I suppose, like you were saying, you know, them people in the communities and them higher places, I suppose they got to come to meet with the powers above that run these places. And you know, I think. You're aware of it, and Sister Mill, you're aware of it. Back in, I think, 93 it was, we had the Royal Commission into Black Deaths in Custody, you know. But it was made then as a rule that we all attended funerals and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But now, over time, it's not as strong anymore, you know. And I suppose the numbers now are a lot higher, you know what I mean? And so they bring it down, you know. So how do we...
Yeah, that's right, because they made it sort of so that it's not a really big issue. But what you're saying is that it is, hey?
It's a huge issue, you know.
Yeah, because some people have missed out on going because other brothers, you know, who weren't so closely connected went to
the funeral instead. Yeah, that's right. Like Brother Boy was saying, the first one that puts his name down, he thinks he's entitled to go first because he got his name in first. But, you know, we've got a hierarchy too that sort of goes that way. But then it's not fair because there's a lot of us from the same families. You know what I mean? And how do we spread it out? You know what I mean? Because they only take one or two from
That's right.
You know, so it's a shame.
And we got big families, eh?
Yeah,
always.
That's right, That's right. Especially, you know, like the families we're talking about at now, you know, huge families. But, but unfortunately, you know, the ones that get to go, and the ones that don't, got to sit here and sing out, so, you know.
And then to even elaborate more, when you go home, the angst within the family is, well, you weren't here. You know what I mean?
Why didn't you go? How come? That's what they try and say. It's as Brother Boy was saying before, it's sort of like, between us, we try and organise it the best we can in who gets to, you know, like, it doesn't matter if he puts his name down first, last, second, whatever. We try and work it out between us in here. Well, he's... like, we're all family, but we try and work out who's actually the closest that gets to prioritise on where they, if they want to go or not. That's
And then once the list goes in, then obviously it goes to other people and they tick off on who goes anyway. If they don't want to go, you know, and it's been in the past that some of us from different families and that or whatever haven't been allowed to go because they don't like us going to these things, so... You know, like Brother Boy was saying before, Paulie, you know, like in here, you don't get to grieve your mother, you know, stuff like that. We go through them things. And they're the important issues that when that happens, you know, that's the times that we should be allowed to go to them things, or like, luckily you're going home tomorrow, mother, you know, and see your family, but hopefully that angst isn't there, you know.
That was the end of that little snippet. But, you know, it just gives you a bit of an idea of the sort of discussions that we have during the Beyond the Bars week, and, you know, how important these discussions are, and, you know, also how great it is that 3CR puts this on every year and has done so for the last 25 years in a row. As far as I'm aware, they're the only radio station on the continent that, you know, regularly goes in and does similar programs each and every year. And I'm pretty sure as well, you know, one of the only ones, if not the only one, that actually does live broadcasts from within the prison. So throughout the week, you know, we do have one or two that are pre-recorded in the lead up just for, you know, logistical kind of purposes. But for the most part, nearly all of the broadcasts that you're going to hear next week on Beyond the Bars are actually coming to you live from those prisons. So yeah, it's a really, really great program. I can't sing it up enough. And yeah, do definitely tune in next week or week to listen to those ones.
Become a 3CR subscriber today. Go to 3cr.org.au/subscribe or call the station on 03 9419 8377. Be a part of your community radio station.
I just want to plug again that we have our 50th birthday anniversary this Saturday. So do come along to that one if you are able to make it. It is a free event, but we do ask that people register online to attend. To do that, you can just Google Humanitics and 3CR 50 years, and the registration will pop right up. Otherwise, you can head to the 3CR website as well, 3cr.org.au, and follow the links on the website to register to come along. It's going to be a really great day. They're going to have, you know, a bunch of family-friendly activities. There's going to be a whole bunch of merch on sale, included limited edition merch. They're going to be, you know, putting a feed on, and there's going to be some great speakers and, you know, other tables selling merch and handing out information and whatever else. And, yeah, it's going to be a really great day, so do come along to that one this Saturday. Make sure you book your attendance for that one. We've also got the Beyond the Bars coming up next week, which I was talking about just before, so make sure you tune into that one. 11 to 2pm each day next week to listen to our live broadcasts from inside the prisons. And another thing I just wanted to touch on today, I talk about this quite a lot on my show actually. Going to change the subject a fair bit with my little ADHD brain. We're going to jump from Beyond the Bars to back to extinction and ecocide and environmental issues again. Now, you know, as I mentioned, something I bring up quite often, but the reason I bring it up so much is because it's just so relevant. You know, it's so ongoing and nothing's changing and, you know, nothing's slowing down or stopping. We're still hurtling towards our own extinction as well as the extinction of life on this planet. Now, in fact, we are living through the sixth mass extinction that Earth has experienced right now, today. Now, we've had five big mass extinction events in the past. One of the most recent ones, well, is actually, aside from this one, the most recent one was 66 million years ago. The one that most people probably be familiar with, when we had a massive asteroid impact, wipe out the dinosaurs and, you know, quite a lot of the Earth life at the time, both plant and animal species. But, you know, there was a bunch of other ones before that, you know, different, you know, mass volcanic eruptions and ice ages and the thawing of ice ages and, you know, various different things throughout history. They happen, you know, roughly every 100 million years or so. But, you know, at the moment, yeah, we are living through the next mass extinction. And, you know, this is something that we can see right around us as well when we actually look at the rates that animals are going extinct. In fact, you know, if we look at certain families and groups of animals or certain locations, we see that the extinction rate at the moment is up to 1,000 times higher than what is otherwise known as the background extinction rate, which is the rate at which plants and animals would, you know, regularly go extinct without having these mass extinction events or human interference. You know, up to 1,000 times higher. You know, generally speaking, though, right across the planet, we're looking at anywhere from several tens to probably several hundreds of times higher. That up to 1,000 times higher, though, you know, for me, it really highlights the issues that we're having here. And, you know, it's affecting the entire life, you know, the entire biosphere. It's not just animals, you know. We are quite familiar with the fact that there are many animals going extinct. And, you know, we've got quite a lot of these cute and cuddly and interesting animals that are often used as the, you know, for lack of a better term, the poster child for extinction. You know, things like panda bears, for example, or rhinos, or, you know, other cool animals that, you know, we are all taught to love when we were little kids. But, you know, quite a lot of people overlook the rest of the biosphere that is going extinct. You know, plants is another really big one, for example, that so many people overlook. At present, we've had, you know, at least over the last 200 or so years, we've had more plant species, for example, go extinct than mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians combined. You know, more plants have gone extinct than those four groups of animals combined. And, you know, this is something that is only continuing to get worse. And it's only continuing to get worse because of stuff like overlogging and development and Western agriculture and, you know, all of the forests that are being logged and cleared today. You know, here in so-called Australia, we've got the highest deforestation rates in the world. We've also got the highest mammal extinction rate in the world, as well as, you know, some of the highest rates for other plant and animal groups going extinct. You know, this is one of the worst places in the world for it. But, you know, some of the things that I suppose that really, I suppose, kind of like highlight for me exactly how bad things are is the fact that we've had so many plant and animal species recently go extinct that have actually been around for so incredibly long. You know, I'm talking about plants and animals that predate the dinosaurs even. You know, plants and animals that have lived already through several mass extinction events over the last hundreds of millions of years are now being wiped out. You know, they managed to survive asteroids smashing into the Earth and, you know, however long it was of darkness because of the asteroid throwing up all the dust into the atmosphere. And, you know, they managed to survive these massive volcanic eruptions and ice ages and, you know, global warming events in the past when we've swung from ice ages to, you know, hot earths and then back to ice ages again. You know, they survived all of these challenges that have been thrown at them for hundreds of millions of years and, you know, hundreds of millions of years for predators and whatever else as well. And then within a couple of decades of industrialization, they're just gone. Just completely gone. You know, that's the reality that we're living in today. You know, that's what capitalism and colonialism are doing to the planet today. And, you know, I think there's a few really sad things about this. You know, first and foremost, you know, it's absolutely devastating that so many of these plants and animals are going extinct because, you know, that's it. Once they're extinct, that's it. They're gone. Never to be seen again. They're not coming back. You know, they're not going to just randomly come back to life again. They're just gone forever. That's it. No more. Bye. But I think another really sad fact about this is the fact that we already are dealing with such a small percent of all of the life that has ever existed. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, some life, as I mentioned before, goes extinct for reasons that aren't connected to natural disasters or human interference. And, you know, quite often a lot of these animals that do you know, go extinct, it's not necessarily that they go extinct per se, it's more that they evolve into something different over time. But what I'm getting at with all of this is, you know, because of these previous mass extinction events that we've had, you know, essentially, and I'm just guessing a figure here, I don't actually know the exact figure, but my guess is pretty accurate though. You know, we've got between something like 90 and 99% of all of the species that have ever existed have already gone. You know, they're already extinct. 99% of all species that have ever existed are gone. What we're dealing with is that, you know, that one little 1% that's managed to survive the last half a billion years. You know, these mass extinction events and predation and, you know, these massive changes on the Earth. 1%, you know, 10% tops, but, you know, that's being very, very overly generous. It's probably closer to 1%. Now, 1% remains, and we're rapidly wiping that out as well. You know, heading towards an Earth where hardly anything will survive. You know, we're going to have maybe a few dozen species survive. You know, predominantly stuff like jellyfish, which are already taking over the ocean because they can live in these acidic waters. You know, things like cockroaches, which are immune to nuclear explosions and can survive off the decaying waste of humanity. You know, stuff like rats as well that, you know, do much of the same, survive off the decaying waste of humanity and, you know, live alongside humanity in our bins and attics and basements and sewers and whatever else. But, you know, this is what we're heading towards. They and a few others are going to be essentially the only life that remains. And, you know, it sounds super dramatic. You know, don't get me wrong. I sound like I'm being so dramatic right now and apocalyptic. But this is reality. This is actually what we're living through. And, you know, the evidence is right around us. I mean, look at Whyalla right now. You know, because of the algal blooms, which, again, tied directly to man-made climate change and to all of the runoffs that are going into the ocean from farms and industry over in South Australia. But we had this massive algal bloom. Now, the Australian giant cuttlefish is, you know, decimated as a result. You know, if you went to places like Whyalla off the coast of South Australia there, during the breeding season, which is around now, if you went there a couple of years ago, you would have seen hundreds of thousands of giant cuttlefish. You know, no joke, there would have been hundreds of thousands of them. I was reading a report from a tourism operator the other day who, you know, each year takes people out to see these, you know, breeding and spawning and whatever else of the giant Australian cuttlefish. Takes these tour groups out. You know, they've had to cancel their tour groups because they've been going out and they've been lucky to see, you know, 20 or 30 cuttlefish. You know, they've gone from breeding populations of several hundred thousand to now people are going out and they're literally seeing a few dozen of them and that's it. And they've been completely decimated and wiped out as a direct result of that algal bloom. And, you know, that's just one species. There's no doubt countless species over there that have been dramatically impacted from the algal bloom. And that's, again, just one incident as well, that algal bloom. You know, one of several, probably hundreds, if not thousands of incidences across the entire globe that are having such a dramatic impact on our wildlife. You know, something to, you know, really, really think about because, yeah, nothing's changing at the end of the day. You know, nothing's changing. People aren't getting out there and doing the right thing to try and conserve the environment or protect it or restore it. You know, don't get me wrong, there are people that do go out and do this great work, but they're a minority. You know, they need to be the majority. The majority of people need to be doing this great work if we're going to see any kind of impactful change. Otherwise, all that tiny minority is going to be able to do, at best, is maybe prolong the apocalyptic, ecocidal destruction that we're heading towards. You know, they're not going to be able to reverse it, maybe prolong it at best. And, you know, along these lines too, and, you know, another thing that really, really irks me about this sort of stuff is how we have so many people who claim to be animal lovers and environmentalists and whatever else, but then they advocate so hard for the protection of destructive, invasive species. You know, I'm talking about stuff like brumbies, for example, here. You know, every so often, the New South Wales government and, you know, National Parks and Wildlife Services and, you know, these other groups and departments and organisations get together to try and cull the wild brumby population. I shouldn't even call them wild, they're feral. You know, the feral invasive brumby population, let's call them what they are. The feral invasive brumby population up in the Kosciuszko Snowy Mountains there. And every time they try and do it, you have all of these bleeding heart liberals coming out talking about what about the poor horses? You know, how cruel it is for the poor horses. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous talking points. You know, these people, it's so ironic because, like, if they really cared about animal cruelty, you know, first and foremost, they wouldn't want the brumbies there in the first place. You know, it's cruel for the brumbies to be there, to be in a place where they haven't evolved or adapted to, a place that's very harsh and, you know, depending on the season, has very little food and water available for them. You know, a place that's quite rocky and quite unstable ground where they suffer a lot of leg injuries, which are, you know, debilitating for a horse. and, you know, all of the cold, extreme weather up there and, you know, all of these other factors, you know, it's not a good situation for the horse to be in the first place. You know, it's cruel to have them there in the first place. But these people, they completely ignore the cruelty that the horses enact on native species. You know, they completely ignore the fact that horses in these vulnerable ecosystems cause so much damage to the entire web of life there. Whether it be, you know, plants that need these ancient soils that Australia has, these ancient loose soils. You know, whether it be the fact that these plants can't grow there anymore because the horses have compacted the soils, or, you know, whether it be because they've destroyed the river and creek banks, or, you know, polluted the water, or, you know, all of these multiple other things that they do. They've, you know, outcompeted natives for food and et cetera, et cetera. You know, they cause so much destruction for the native wildlife up there. And there are so many plants and animals in that ecosystem that only occur in that ecosystem as well. You know, there's species of fish, for example, like different galaxia, that live in the waterways up there that you won't find anywhere else in the entire world. And once they go extinct from, you know, these handful of waterways that they live in because of the horses, you know what then? We're still going to have horses. You know, horses aren't at threat of extinction. You got horses on every single continent except for Antarctica. Although I wouldn't be surprised if there was horses down in Antarctica as well. But, you know, they got horses on every occupied continent. You know, they're at no risk of going extinct. Yet all of these native plants and animals are at risk of going extinct because of these horses. And do you know what it all ties back to, which is the most annoying part? It ties back so much to this white colonial supremacy. You know, so many of the arguments you see in defense of the horses are people banging on about how these Brumbies are a part of Australian history and, you know, Australian icons and all of these other things. But that's tied directly to colonial history. That's tied directly to, you know, this white supremacist history of Australia. That's what they're upholding when they uphold this, you know, symbolic image of these, you know, wild Australian Brumbies. They don't come from here. They're not from here. They're not Australian Brumbies. They're an introduced pest. You know, it fully ties back to this colonial supremacy where they think their introduced species from Europe are more important and more deserving of life than the native species that are being wiped out from these invasives. You know, and it's not just horses, there's so many as well, whether it be pigs or, you know, the various different deer species we have, or buffaloes up in the top end and camels up in the top end, or, you know, cats as well. Cats are one of the worst offenders for extinction rates in Australia. And again, the same sort of thing. You know, you tell people to keep their cats inside. You're not even telling people to go cull cats, right? You're just telling people to keep their cats inside so that their cat can't go roaming and contribute to the 2 billion native animals that are killed in Australia every single year from roaming and feral cats. And even that's an issue for people. You know, even then, you've got people that jump up and down about how it's apparently cruel to the poor cat to keep it locked up inside all day. You know, never mind the cruelty that the cat's enacting when it goes out and kills a bunch of native animals, and not even because it's hungry, just because that's its predatorial instinct to do. You know, a well-fed cat, it doesn't need to go out and kill for food, it just goes out and does it for its own entertainment and its own predatorial instincts. You know, these people won't keep their cats inside, and they make 101 arguments as to why they should allow their cat to roam, and, you know, make all these excuses about how their cat's not like that, and, you know, how great their cat is, and it would never kill an animal, and all this other crap you hear, and it's all crap. That's what it is at the end of the day. You keep your cats inside. Get rid of these feral animals destroying the bush. It's not a big request, but, yeah, for a lot of people, it is. We've got about 8 minutes left in the show. I'll be back again next week. From 11, actually, next week. Yeah, I'm going to be taking over Uncle Robbie's slot on Bundrell's Fire. So Yilliman will be running from 11 to 1 going forward. A whole extra hour to get on here and play some beats and to rave on about the issues that exist in society. But yeah, I just wanted to give a big shout out to Uncle Robbie, though. He's done, you know, such amazing work here at 3CR. For decades now. You know, I'm not actually sure when Uncle Robbie first started broadcasting on 3CR, but I know he's been on here for a very long time now. And, you know, very much been an integral part of 3CR during that time. And, you know, I've definitely learned a lot, and no doubt a lot of other listeners out there have learned so much and, you know, had so many of their own views challenged by Uncle Robbie getting on here each week. And not just on Bundrell's Fire, but on his other programs as well, you know, getting on here talking about The issues that mob are facing, and, you know, talking about our genocide and our fight for sovereignty and the history of colonial occupation and genocide here on this continent. But really want to give a massive shout out to Uncle Robbie for all of his hard work here on 3CR. But not only that, you know, all of his hard work in the community as well. Got a lot of respect for Uncle Robbie. He's definitely one of the legends and greats of the Black Power movement here on this continent, and the fight for Aboriginal sovereignty and the end to genocide against our people. And definitely one of the greats for that movement. Somebody who has contributed so much, who has done so much and achieved so much, and who has challenged so much. And it's also just so remarkable that even at the age he's at now, that he's still doing so much. You know, he's still got all these court cases going against, your government generals and attorney generals, and, you know, launching court cases against Israeli ministers and against King Charles and, all of these other genocide heirs. It's, you know, amazing that he's got all of this energy. And, you know, on top of that, he still does some radio programs, and he's involved with all of the housing stuff, and he's involved with Camp Sovereignty, and he's involved with, you know, this and that. And he also goes out and, you know, he's part of this band and does spoken word, and, yeah, truly a legend. All of the stuff that he does. Truly somebody to really look up to and, really take a lot of advice and wisdom from.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.